How's everyone doing today? Here it is, the first Sunday of May already. Hopefully all those April showers we've been getting will bring us some May flowers. Either way, we know this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We have a new memory verse for the month of May. It comes from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. We'll be using this verse in our message today. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20 says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we get started today. Lord, first of all, I want to thank you for your wonderful promises. We're about to look at some of your promises in the Word of God today, some promises that are very appropriate for the times in which we find ourselves. Thank you for being the wonderful God who loves us with an everlasting love and is preparing an incredibly indescribable place for us where we will spend eternity. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today. Even though we're not together as a church family, we know that you are right there with each one of us wherever we find ourselves today. Father, I want to pray for the people in the world who are suffering. I know that's a very broad prayer, but I want to pray for our church family, first of all, many who are sick, some who are tired, lonely, hurting in different ways. I pray, Lord, that your grace will be with each and every one of them, that you would show mercy to all of them, that you would help them to turn their eyes upon you and find your grace sufficient to meet all their needs, and that they would be able to turn sorrow into joy on this lovely Lord's Day. I also want to pray for all the coronavirus patients throughout the world. Hundreds of thousands have been sick, are now sick, or will get sick before this is all over. Many of them will die. And Lord, we pray for them that you'll give them grace. And those that are not saved, we pray especially for them that before they go into eternity, Lord, that your word would come to their hearts and minds clearly, and that they would be able to call upon you and be saved and spend eternity with you in heaven. We pray for the families of those who have lost loved ones. Lord, this is a very difficult time for them. And people who have friends and family in hospitals and nursing homes, they're not able to go visit them. I pray especially that you would comfort them as well. I pray for the communities that are affected by coronavirus most severely. Here in Franklin County, the coronavirus has really expanded in the last week. We're one of the hot spots in the state of Pennsylvania, the third fastest growing area for coronavirus. We're not really sure why, but we know, Lord, that you are watching over that, and we just ask that you would be merciful to our communities that have been affected by coronavirus, not just here in Franklin County, but all the counties of Pennsylvania, all the states of America, and all the countries of the world. We ask, Lord, that you would be merciful and gracious and bring this thing to an end. Help us to get back to our lives as we used to know it. And Lord, help us to give you the glory and to give you the honor for everything you do in bringing this to a close. We pray for the care workers in hospitals, nursing homes, some still working on board medical ships, people around the world who are struggling, giving their lives to help other people who are suffering. And many of these people have been exposed and have become sick themselves. We pray for ambulance drivers and people that are working in emergency rooms, people who are encountering coronavirus patients for the first time. And then, Lord, I want to pray for our missionary family. They're scattered all over the world, and every one of them have written and said that the coronavirus is in their area as well. And many of them are experiencing the same things that we are experiencing, being confined to their homes, having to wear masks everywhere they go, not able to have regular church services. I want to pray especially for our missionaries of the month, the Moyanos serving in Spain. Bless them indeed, Lord. Meet their needs. Keep them safe. Just watch over them. Protect them. Help them to be able to minister and preach, proclaim the good news of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, especially to the Jewish people there in Spain. And Lord, I want to praise you that your word promises us that you are coming again. And we believe it's very soon. We thank you, Lord, that you have gone to prepare a place for us, and you're coming again to receive us unto yourself, and we will be with you, Lord, forever. We're looking forward to that day. Thank you for this time together today. May this time be a special blessing to our church family and to others who may be listening in. Lord, we pray that the message will be clear, that you would speak to hearts, that you would draw us all closer to yourself and help us to trust in you. We ask these blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen. The message today I've called The Lord is Waiting. The Lord is Waiting. We're going to be looking at some verses in Isaiah chapter 30. If you have a Bible handy, I encourage you to find it and turn to Isaiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 18 today. I really want you to see these verses with your eyes, because I'm going to tie so many phrases in these several verses to the different points of my message today, and it's going to be easier to understand it if you can see it in print as well as hear it spoken to you. I was reading, doing my Bible reading. I'm reading through the Bible this year, and I've been reading through the book of Isaiah this week. And when I came to these verses in chapter 30, it's almost like there was a light from heaven that illuminated these verses, and I read them and heard what they said, and right away I saw the relationship between what we're going through with coronavirus and what these verses are telling us about the Lord's promises to those who cry unto Him. I'm in Isaiah chapter 30, beginning in verse 18, and I'm going to read through verse 21. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the Lord shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. That's an incredible passage of Scripture, and I cannot help but believe the Lord gave us this passage of Scripture for such a time as this. I sincerely hope you will take time to meditate on these verses again today or later this week. Again, it was Isaiah chapter 30, verses 18 through 21. Take time to meditate on these verses and find that there is a deep source of comfort and guidance in these inspired words of Isaiah. Again, I've been so moved by these verses this week that I've chosen verse 20 as our memory verse for the month. Throughout the Word of God, we are instructed to wait on the Lord. But here, in verse 18, the Lord is waiting for us. He's waiting for His people who have been inflicted with adversity. What is He waiting for? Clearly, in verse 19, He is waiting for us to cry unto Him. He will be gracious, it says, unto thee at the voice of thy cry. In Isaiah's day, Israel was plagued with a pandemic of social, spiritual, and political ills that placed them in a very desperate position. They were weakened by a flood of idolatry, a social and spiritual disease of their own doing. We have a lot of idolatry here in America. People are turning away from you and turning to their own gods of materialism and things, material things that they consider more important than you, and they spend more time actually worshiping these things, and when they don't even realize they're doing that. But whether we bow down to a false god or not, idolatry is when we allow anything to take the place of God in our lives, and when we spend more time dabbling in those things than we do listening to God. The people of Israel were weakened by a flood of idolatry. They were wrestling with fear, fear that they would be overtaken and destroyed by political enemies from all sides. The Egyptian armies that had grown strong over the years threatened them from the south, the Assyrians from the north and east, and the Babylonians were threatening from the south east to come and overpower and overtake them. All of these enemies were power hungry, land hungry, and in a hurry to eliminate what stood in their way, that little land of Israel. Strange how things haven't changed much in over 4,000 years. It is not God's will to live for us to live in fear, but the Israelites were wrestling with fear, and they were faced with powerful enemies that were much bigger than themselves. Well, yes, they were afraid. They saw that fear filled their land, just like fear fills our land today. Fear filled the heart of every man, woman, and child. Fear even filled the hearts of the leaders of Israel. It is not God's will for us to live in fear, is it? Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." And God was waiting. He was waiting for His chosen people to cry unto Him. We are in some perilous position today that Israel was also in during Isaiah's prophecy. God is waiting for us to cry unto Him. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry, verse 19. When we realize that we are plagued with a pandemic that is bigger than we are, that we desperately need His almighty and powerful arm, the bare arm of God, to help us, and we cry unto Him. When we recognize that our help must come from the Lord God Creator, which made heaven and earth, Psalm 121, verse 2, and we cry unto Him. When we remember to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and lean not into our own understanding, Proverbs 3:5, and relinquish our confidence to the medical professionals, and the advice of politicians, and the protection of face masks and social distancing, and we cry unto Him. I believe the Lord is waiting for His people to realize that we're in trouble. And the trouble we find ourselves in today is yet another warning that time is running out. And there's work yet to be done before He returns. I also believe the Lord is waiting for His people to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. Then, He says, will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Friends, this is a wake-up call. The Lord is waiting. And if we cry unto Him, there's good news. There's good news here in this passage that we read today. There are three things God will do if we cry unto Him. They're right here in our text. Three things God will do when we cry unto Him. Are you ready? Here they are. Number one, He will declare His divine sovereignty. Number two, He will deliver us by His mercy. And number three, He will direct our hearts to desire His word. Here are three promises given to us in Isaiah chapter 30 that when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we find that they are as applicable to us today as they were for ancient Israel when they were stuck in the state of fear. First of all, let's talk about the fact that God will declare His divine sovereignty. In the midst of this storm, God will demonstrate His power, His authority, His right to judge the nations. In verse 18, it says, "The Lord will wait, and therefore will He be exalted." Do you see that? God will do these things for us because He wants the world to know that He is God. He will be exalted. He will be lifted up. He will be positioned in such a place that the world will tremble before Him. And He will be exalted because He is the Lord of judgment. The Lord is a God of judgment. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's what God asked Abraham when He announced that He would destroy Sodom because of its unrighteousness in Genesis 18:25. It was a rhetorical question, and the answer is still true today. Everything that the judge of all the earth does is right. It is right because our God is a holy God. God is a God of judgment. That means He's a righteous God. All that He does is right and holy and for His glory. Everything He does exalts Him, lifts Him up. Everything He does shows the world that He is God. Now the unbelievers of this world cannot understand that. They cannot understand any of this because their carnal minds are darkened. They are spiritually blind. God is a sovereign God. He is totally in control of everything. That's a very good thing. God will declare His divine sovereignty, and the world will know that our God reigneth over all the earth. Satan has nothing to hold over God. The Antichrist has no power over God. God's plan will be done. Jesus will come for His church. God's wrath will be poured out on the earth during 7 years of tribulation. And then Jesus will come. He will come to reign over the earth for 1,000 years. He will come and He will be King of kings and Lord of lords. And listen, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We find that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, and in Romans chapter 14, verse 11. And the coronavirus is just one step in this whole process. God will be exalted. God will declare His divine sovereignty. I can hardly wait, can you? We need to get on our knees and cry unto the Lord. David said, "I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me out of his holy hill." Psalm chapter 3, verse 4. Many, many times in the Psalms we find David crying unto the Lord. Moses cried unto the Lord in the wilderness for water, and God supplied water for the Israelites. Again Moses cried unto the Lord for Miriam to be healed of leprosy, and God healed her in Numbers 12:13. In Numbers 20:16, Moses says, "And we cried unto the Lord, and he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt." In 1 Samuel 7:9, Samuel cried unto the Lord for the nation of Israel, and the Lord heard him. Time after time we read of God declaring his divine sovereignty and delivering his people from destruction. Which brings me to the second thing that God will do when we cry unto him. He will deliver us by his mercy. In verse 18 it says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, that he may have mercy upon you. Blessed are all they that wait for him." In verse 19, Isaiah 30:19, "Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee. He will answer thee." His mercy endureth forever. Did you know that phrase appears 41 times in the Bible? Psalm 136:26 says, "Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." The last time the phrase is used is in Jeremiah 33:11. "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord." It is good news that God hears the cry of his people, and he will deliver us by his mercy. If we didn't have God, we would have no hope. Do you remember how God describes our condition before we are saved? In Ephesians 2:12, we are told that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But we never have to worry about being without Christ, without hope, and without God, because God's mercy endures forever. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:13. Whosoever, that includes you and me, everyone in the world, there's no one who is too big of a sinner, too great of a sinner, or no one beyond the scope of God's grace. Whosoever includes everyone, anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. In Psalm 116:13, it says, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." That's what God wants you to do today. Receive the cup of salvation by calling upon the name of the Lord. In verse 17 of the same chapter it says, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." If we cry unto the Lord, he will deliver us by his mercy. He will deliver us from way more than just the coronavirus. He will deliver us by his mercy from the penalty and wages of sin, which is death, spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. If you think the coronavirus is bad, think about dying without having Jesus as your Savior. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And finally, there's a third thing, according to Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21, a third thing that the Lord will do if we cry unto Him. And that is, He will direct our hearts to desire His Word. This is important. He will direct our hearts to desire His Word. Listen carefully. I'm looking at Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21. And it says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, though the world bring trouble to your land, coronavirus for one thing, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." It has been the burden of the heart of God's preachers for many decades that people are just not hearing the message that has been preached. Jesus said this day would come. In Matthew 13:15, He is recorded as saying, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." In the last chapter of the book of Acts, Paul quoted that verse taken from Isaiah chapter 6. Again, it says, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." This is a serious warning to the tens of thousands, probably millions, in the world who are without Christ and without God in this world. We claim the promise of Romans 10:17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So, we keep preaching and preaching and preaching. Sadly, we're not seeing very many people believing and being saved, are we? We keep praying for a spiritual awakening, but for naught. We plead with God to send a revival, yet we do not see the kind of repentance that is required for revival. This is because people have ears that are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. Today's world has pushed God's teachers and preachers off into a corner. It's not that they have quit teaching and preaching. It's just that most unbelievers and even many professing believers are not hearing them anymore. "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." It's not that we are spiritually deaf so that we cannot hear at all. Many of us are saved by the grace of God, yet we have allowed the things of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, to dull our hearing so that we are unaware that we have left our first love. We have turned to the right hand and we have turned to the left. We are not following the straight and narrow way directed by our Lord. Many people are leaving the church today. We're seeing a great falling away predicted in the Bible. I would like to quote what a friend of mine said recently. He said, "I wonder if the same faith that allows many people to be absent from church will be the kind of faith necessary to take them to heaven." The world's noise has crowded out our ability to hear what God is saying. Little Annie Grissom was playing with her dolls outside her apartment building in a busy Chicago suburb one day. She had wandered from her tiny backyard and onto the tracks used by a commuter train. She could not hear the warning horn of the rapidly approaching train because of all the noise of the traffic and the surrounding factories. In seconds, the futile efforts of her mother screaming at the top of her lungs from the second-story apartment window could not save Annie's life. She just couldn't hear the warning. Jesus calls us to the safety of Himself. In Revelation 3:20, He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Can you hear his voice today? The hymn writer Alan Jackson put it this way, "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Yes, the Bible is full of good news. There's even good news in the midst of the situation we find ourselves in today, the coronavirus pandemic. If we realize the trouble we are in, not just physically, that's the least of it, but spiritually, if we realize the trouble we are in and cry unto the Lord, He will declare His divine sovereignty. His mighty arm is able to save. He will deliver us by His mercy. His mercy endures forever. And He will direct our hearts to desire His word. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way. Walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left." Remember, God says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Ephesians 2:8. Where do we get this faith? "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," Romans 10:17. And what do I do with this faith once I have it? I use it to call upon the name of the Lord. "Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved," Romans 10:13. God is waiting. God is waiting for you to cry unto Him, because our only hope is in Him. Ralph Carmichael wrote a song that has become one of my favorites. "The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find His arms open wide. Receive Him, and all your darkness will end. Deep in your heart He'll abide. Time after time He has waited before, and now He's waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come in." Father, I pray that You would open the ears and the eyes of those who have become dull of hearing and who have closed their eyes and who are asleep. I pray, Lord, for an awakening that people would rise up and realize that you are giving us one last chance, one last opportunity to take you seriously. One opportunity to see the trouble we're in and to realize that the only solution, the only way out of this problem is through our Lord Jesus Christ. We may survive the coronavirus. We may be one of the fortunate ones that won't be contaminated by it. And we might consider ourselves lucky. But Lord, there is no luck in the spiritual realm. It's either we know Jesus Christ and He is our ark of safety, or we don't know Him and we are outside of the ark of safety. And Lord, we're not talking about whether we're going to get sick or stay healthy. We're talking about whether we're going to live eternally in heaven or be separated in the lake of fire forever. I pray, dear God, for those who have listened to this message today and maybe for the first time they realize God is waiting for them. God is waiting for you. He is waiting for you to realize that you need to call, to cry unto Him for salvation. That you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, the only way to eternal life, that you would trust in Him. And Lord, there may be many people in churches today, not sitting in churches, but members of churches and church attenders who don't even realize that they have not put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. They might be thinking that religion will save them. They might be thinking that because they attend church once in a while, that God is pleased with them and that their relationship with you, Father, is okay, when in reality they have never been born again. Like Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nobody is going to get to heaven unless there's been a spiritual rebirth that has taken place. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that rebirth will take place. That's God's promise, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There may be Christians listening today who have also realized that they really haven't been listening to the message that preachers have been preaching. They haven't really been hearing the desperate cry that time is fleeing, that souls are precious, and that the hour is near when Jesus will return. There may be Christians today who are not living as if the Lord Jesus Christ could come in the next 53 seconds or the next 10 seconds. And they're living their lives in a dangerously foolish way. People are perishing. We are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Believers have the good news. Jesus saves. And we need to turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven for eternity. There may be Christians today who have loved ones whom they know are perishing because they're without Christ and without God in the world. We need to say something to them. We need to invite them. We need to prod them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ right now and be saved. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done during this time. We ask that you would continue to use the message to turn hearts toward you so that we will receive the blessings that are contained for us here in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we close our time together today, I have three announcements that I would like to share with you. Many of you are anxious to return to church. On May the 8th, 24 Pennsylvania counties will go to phase yellow in the governor's reopening business and activities plan. Unfortunately, Franklin County is not one of them. Currently, Franklin County is third highest on the state's hot areas for coronavirus. What this means is that it is likely that we're going to have to stay away from church services for at least a few more weeks. No definite dates have been projected for reopening social gatherings. It all depends on the virus, how quickly it dissipates. So, continue listening to the internet, to our messages, and stay tuned to your local news, and we'll find that someday soon we'll be able to get back to church. Secondly, this coming Thursday, May 7th, is the National Day of Prayer. The coronavirus pandemic makes this year's National Day of Prayer especially significant and critical. I've joined with some fundamental leaders in our community to join our community together in concerted efforts to pray for one another this year. We've divided the emphasis of prayer three ways. We're asking you to join us in praying for our churches, our community, and thirdly, for all the countries of the world. Please plan to spend some extra time in prayer this coming Thursday. And thirdly, I would like to mention how grateful I am that many of you have continued to support our local church through this difficult time with your financial giving. Although many of you have sent in your financial support, naturally the giving is down. That means that the 35% of our offerings that we give to missions is also considerably lower than usual. We have over 20 missionaries depending on our monthly support to meet their needs. About $3,300 goes out in monthly support to our missionaries. We cannot let our missionaries down. If you haven't sent your regular offerings in, now would be a good time to do so. And if you can give a little extra toward missions, now would also be a great time to do that. You can find the church's address on the front of any church bulletin that you might have lying around or in your Bible. And it's also on the front of your church directory. The church's address can also be found several places here on our website. Thank you, and may God bless you. Lord willing, I will continue providing these weekly messages on our website while we are unable to assemble ourselves together. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that in the near future. So until next week, God bless you. Stay well, stay healthy, and please keep praying for one another.